like to welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit, Catherine Harrison. She's the author of the award-winning book, Weeds in Nana's Garden, and also I Smile for Grandpa. She's a member of the AlzheimersAuthors.com. And we found we have a mutual acquaintance, colleague in that group. She's an illustrator. She started, what an interesting background. She started in science, then became a business professional, communicator, and finally an artist. She earned a BSc in neurology. She went on to receive an MBA and worked over a decade in marketing communications. Following her business career, she turned to art, obtaining a fine art diploma from the Toronto School of Art. She was compelled to create this resource for children. And what a great topic, following her family's experience with her mother's frontal temporal degeneration. She's continued her commitment to provide resources for families impacted by dementia as a member of the team running Alzheimer's Authors, an online community offering a vast collection of dementia-related resources. Catherine, welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Thank you, and thank you for having me, Anthony.
Yeah, what a great topic that we probably haven't thought of enough, right? So,
you know, I think it's something that is starting to be talked about more.
And needs to be. So what did you do to help your children remain connected with their grandmother, your mom, throughout her dementia experience?
So I was a part-time stay-at-home mom with my kids. So I had my kids with me. My mom actually lived out of town from me. And so whenever I went to visit mom several times a week, my kids came with me and there wasn't really any options. And as a result, they were exposed to what was happening on a weekly basis to my mom. And so we had to talk about it. Because they were very aware that things were a bit different from their other grandparents and that they noticed changes. So we talked quite a bit about it. It wasn't something that I chose to shield them from because it was right there in experiencing to them. We talked about it, and we also, like I said, had opportunity to be together. And then my daughter was 3, and my son was 1 as the disease started to be something they could experience. And it was them that often embraced what was happening and felt more comfortable a lot about it than I did. So they were happy to play with their Nana. Their Nana was more spontaneous than a lot of other adults. She was ready to dance like crazy whenever the music went on. And they were quickly and astutely aware of that, and that they had this interesting bond with her that they didn't have with other adults. Yeah. So I think that was one of the main things. We had a lot of time together.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. You know, when I started singing in care homes, that I started embracing kind of the world that the people were in. I didn't know how to do that in the beginning, but children probably more naturally inclined to be able to do that right away. So that's pretty cool. So what kind of activities, you mentioned, you know, when she would start dancing or whatever, what activities did your children and their grandmother enjoy doing together?
Definitely music. And I still remember that, think back way when kids are small, they have these toys that play these very common nursery rhyme type songs like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and Froggy Went A-Courtin' and all these songs that we know. And my mother would sing every one of the songs. And my kids noticed right away, Nana knows every song. And so they would find all their toys and they would play the songs. And she would know that song and she would know that song. And she would sing them. And they loved that. So that was one of the things in addition to dancing. And also creating. I mean, I know you know, since you have been in care facilities, they love to create like kids love to create. So coloring, working with clay, collaging. And it's not about with young children, it's not about what you actually result in. It's about the process of creating. And that was something that we really embraced together. We would sit at the table, they would have newspapers and rip up magazines and just glue it all on, and who cares what it looks like. And that was something that we did together. It's about being silly together too. I still remember, like, so my mom was a very good cook and baker, but as the disease progressed, it was difficult for her to remember the ingredients and stuff like that. But she could definitely participate with my kids the way my kids would participate. So if we made cookies, I made the batter and they just did everything else, made the shapes, put way too many sprinkles on or whatever happened.
That's great. And yeah, music is such a connector. I mean, I've seen in my performances, somebody who's totally been kind of just spaced out, if you will, for no other better term at the moment, and then sing my whole program with me. So it is a common connector. It reaches through all those tangles and plaques and it comes out. So what a great way to do that. Now, pardon me for asking this, and I don't know if I knew this or not. Has your mom since passed or is she still with us?
She did pass. She actually passed in 2010. So okay. Quite a while ago now. And my kids are now teenagers. And it was 2005 that she was diagnosed.
So they were, what, about 6 and 9 or something when she passed?
Yes.
Okay. So I imagine that they have much more sensitivity around this and maybe older people, perhaps?
Definitely. I still see that the understanding that don't judge what's going on. You don't know what's going on. And just that open-mindedness about just go with it. Don't judge. Now, as I enter teenage years.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. I talked a little bit about music and the not judging, and it just continued to go on. I had stories of, you know, when my mom would be in a grocery store with us, of course, she hears a familiar song and she really would start to groove. My children were happy to have that happen because they were young and that was fun. And it taught me to not be so self-conscious about it because they didn't care. And then, because I would be like, oh, mom, no, you don't dance here. And then I was like, why not?
Yeah. Absolutely. So you mentioned, obviously, as they got older, they had more sensitivity, and that's certainly one of the benefits of being involved in that experience. What other benefits have your children had in being involved with your mom's dementia?
I think that they actually gained confidence from it because they were part of her caregiver team. I always used to say, you guys are part of the team. And remember my son is very mechanically minded. And later, he would always be concerned about the wheelchair settings and would fuss with it, which was great. And my daughter was like the pusher of the wheelchair. And the folks in the care facility my mom had were really, really open at showing my children how to use the mechanical beds or how to use the elevators. And I think they gained confidence because when my daughter would walk in wheeling my mom to supper and all the other residents would smile and say hi and high five, they felt important. So it gained confidence for my children in doing that, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is something they'll have their whole life, a sensitivity to that, to older people, to maybe volunteering and being involved in causes. That's just awesome. So why did you decide to create a children's book about dementia?
Well, when my kids were small and I was looking for resources, there weren't very many. Now, thankfully, in the last 10 years, there's been quite a few new books created about dementia. So when you look on Amazon, there are several ones to choose from. But for me, I really, my daughter gave me the story for Weeds in Nana's Garden. And so it was such a natural way for me to share our learning and stories to other families. One day we were walking and my mom, like I said, had a big garden and we were walking. I don't think I said it actually. My mom had a really big garden. We were walking in the garden and this was probably about 2 years into the journey. And it was noticeably wild. It was noticeably lots of big, tall dandelions and you had to kind of move stuff out of the way. And we've always picked bouquets in my mom's garden. My mom was very adamant. You pick bouquets because you bring the garden in the house. So we would always pick big bouquets from the garden. And when my daughter and I had this big blob of flowers and we were arranging them, I thought it was a good opportunity to talk to her again about what was going on. And she made the connection. She said, you know, there's more weeds in the garden, Mom, now. It's harder to find the flowers. And I said, yes. And she's like, that's kind of like the disease, right? It's harder for Nana to find her memories. And I said, yeah. I mean, it was just so profound. And that was my story right there. So it was at that point that I knew I wanted to make a book about it.
Well, that's profound. And you know you have to write it after that when stuff like that happens. When it hits you like that, I've had that in myself with articles and other types of things. So, yeah, that's amazing. So tell her to keep doing that and you'll just get more books.
You know? I know.
So this is an important topic, and it's the first time, this is our second summit, but the first time we've covered it here, and I hope we can cover different niches of this as we go forward in other summits. But, you know, how can we work together to raise children's awareness of dementia?
Well, this is a great start, as you just said, is talking about it and being more open and changing our mindset that we need to shield our children from this, because they're resilient and they're very aware of what's going on. And if we think that we're not telling them to protect them, I don't think that that's, in my experience, going to be the best for them. I mean, kids can feel uncomfortable with people that are living with dementia because they sometimes exhibit behaviors that you don't expect from an adult. And if they don't really know what's going on, then it can be really uncomfortable. Like, we can be uncomfortable as adults, even if. So by talking to kids and being open about it, I think that can really help reduce that. And I've had some opportunities to be in classrooms with kids, many of the kids who aren't affected at all in their lives at that point. When I was doing the book, I actually went into two classrooms full of 9-year-old kids to share the book with them. I wanted their feedback. And it was through their amazing questions that I developed the questions that are in my book. So there's questions and answers. And these were directly from what the kids were asking me. They really want to know. They really want to know what's going on. And they have ideas and thoughts and perspectives that can help all of us. So getting in the classroom, I'm hoping to speak to the grander, in my children's schools, to speak at a big assembly. We had it scheduled, but it didn't work out for this past spring. And working with my local Alzheimer's Society to do that. And that's the type of thing that I think would be helpful as well, is being in classrooms and talking to children. There's also some amazing online resources. There's a girl named Haley Richmond that runs a blog called Kids Caregivers, and it's actually a Facebook group as well. And she reports daily on her experience with her grandmother, and is sharing her real life story from the point of view of a child. And it's really powerful. I believe she's being invited to go to Washington next month to talk about why it's important to include children, what value they add to the experience. So that's another thing that's happening. And there's programs that are happening. There's a program I know about in actually Melbourne, Australia. Mm. It's called the Umbrella Dementia Cafe. And they run a dementia cafes and regularly invite children to come to these cafes and have those living with dementia and their caregivers and children come together in a social setting. And they've been really having a lot of fun doing that. Those types of programs, having more of those would be amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm part of Huntersville Cares, which is a dementia-friendly initiative. We have memory cafes. That's a great idea. In fact, I'll dash a note off to our coordinator after this and say, hey, how about a program for kids?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Catherine, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you. Is there any last thoughts you want to impart to our audience before we leave?
Let me see. I think I've said before that our kids can really help us, and don't be afraid to talk to them, because They add so much value. And look for books like allsauthors.com, which I'm a management team on. There's a whole section on the kids' books. There's actually teen books as well, because that's a little bit different too, where there's actually fictional books where a teenager has a grandparent with dementia. And I think those are extremely powerful resources as well. And yeah, using those resources is a really gentle foray into the discussions that you have. One other thing I guess I mentioned, and I think this seems somewhat obvious, but my children told me it was really powerful, which was I made a collage of photos of my mother when she was younger, and I had it in our kitchen right by the fridge door, and it allowed me to talk to my children often about my mom before the diagnosis. And I found that then they had stories about her and related to her, the woman that was, and I found that that allowed them to think of things to do with her because they had this other knowledge. So I thought that tool, which I forgot to mention, was really powerful. And again, I didn't think it would be so, but I know that care facilities do a similar thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and even now, like even though my mom passed almost 10 years ago, though that collage is still there. And they still remember, you know, Nana was a Highland dancer and she loved to do this. And they find ways to remember her from those, that collage.
Yeah, and believe me, I think that's not just for children. My mom and my sister both passed within the last 4 years, and I'm literally at a collage right in my office here of pictures that I look at every day. So I think it's important in every age to cherish the memories, remember the people that have gone. So Catherine, I want to thank you. You've certainly helped me understand the topic better and given me even more resources to help us cover different angles of this topic in the future summit. So I want to thank you for being on the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Anthony.